Okay. It's been a while. It's been a long time since I've been up here in front of you guys. Back in October, I had a sinus surgery and I was out for a little bit. And then right on the heels of that, I had a prolonged bout of glandular fever. And I share all of that with you for the visitors here. So that you know, you've come to a loving and caring group. I've been so thankful and so appreciative of the care and support that's been given to my family by this church here. The prayers that people have offered, the cards people have sent, the offers for assistance that they've given to me and my wife has just been really, really wonderful, and I do appreciate it. We are a far from perfect group. You probably don't need to hang out with us very long to work that out. But we do try to love each other and to love God. And I hope that we can show you a bit of that this morning. So, this morning, I'm going to make you two promises right off the bat about this morning's talk. One, it's going to be short. That pleases at least most of you. All of you, let's be honest, all of you. Two, it's important. And it's not important because I say it's important. It's not important because I'm saying it. It's important because these are God's words. If you're here and you're not a Christian, this talk is for you. I want to talk to you about who God is, and I want to talk to you about how you can come into a relationship with Him. If you are a Christian, I still want you to really pay attention. Because I might get something wrong, and if I do, I want you to point that out to me. I might say some things that make you think, well, you know, do I really believe this, and do I live like I believe it? Hopefully I'm going to say some things that will help you if you want to talk to people that you know about Jesus. So, we live in a world that is obsessed with the new. We want the latest goss. We want the newest gadget. My kid's iPad is so bulky and old. We bought it in 2011. It's old. Real old. At the same time, we're all running around looking for spiritual meaning. I have so many interactions with people where when they hear that I work with a church, they want to talk to me about spiritual things. They're curious about spiritual things. Many of us want to know these things, and we want to know that there's some meaning. We live in a world now that is full of information, but it's pretty thin on meaning, right? We can go to the internet and find out anything about anything, but what does it all mean is the question, right? Today, I would like to talk to you about the unknown God. I call Him the unknown God because I look around and it doesn't seem like very many people know Him. People are looking for answers everywhere, and I would like to put in front of you today that it's this God who might hold the answers that you're looking for. He's the God who made the universe, and He made everything in it, including me and you. He rules over everything. He isn't made by man. He doesn't live in a building that a man's made. He doesn't live in a statue that a man's made. He doesn't live in a cross that somebody's hung up somewhere on a wall. He is in everything and around us in every way. He doesn't need anything from us. Tim just led us in a time where we could give money, and we often say that we're giving money back to God when we're doing that. He doesn't need our money. We don't have to like do things for Him so He'll do things for us. He doesn't need anything from us. And in fact, it's quite the opposite. He gives us everything that we need. He has provided for us everything that we need to be able to live. He created all humanity from one person. We look out at human beings and we see this type of person and that type of person. We see a man and a woman. We see this person from this country and this person from this country. God sees us all the same. He created us all from one person. We are all equally important to Him. One of the interesting things about the way that He made us is He gave us a desire to look for Him. He gave us a desire to want to know Him. So is it any wonder if you're sitting here today saying, you know, I wonder what all of this is about? There's a reason you're thinking that. Because that's the way human beings are created. We are created to be curious. We are desperately curious to find answers. And we were made to be that way. And the really, really great news that I have to share with you this morning is He is within your reach. He is close to you. He's not a God that lives like way off somewhere and we have to climb up on a mountain or we have to go up in a spaceship or something like that to try to get close to him. He is close to all of us. People have been confused from the beginning of time about all different kinds of gods and all different kinds of ideas about the way things are. But God has put all of that aside and he's asked us to do one simple thing. He has called all people to come to himself. And the way that he's called you is through a man named Jesus of Nazareth. And the way that he showed all of us that Jesus of Nazareth is his chosen one is Jesus hung on a cross and died. He was buried in a tomb and God raised him back to life. That is the sign that God used to show everyone, this man is the one that I've chosen to bring a path back to me. So, if you're familiar with your Bible, you might have recognized what I just said. Earlier, Aiden read Acts 17 for us, where Paul was going to talk to the people in Athens. They were desperate to hear something new, and so Paul told them something new. I just gave you kind of a modern paraphrase of that talk. If you want to read it later, it's in Acts 17. You can have a read through it. You see, I was trying to think about how can I introduce God to a person that doesn't know God? And I couldn't do better than Acts 17. So I decided not to. I decided to just share it with you. And Paul's audience 2,000 years ago is so similar to our world today. They're people that love to just wait for the new thing. They can't wait for the new thing to come out. And they're always looking for the new and the novel. And that's who we are. So the question I have for you today, if you're not a Christian, and believe it or not, even though that was an introduction, it's almost leading us right into the ending. I told you this talk's not going to be very long. The question I have for you, if you're not a Christian, is that you? Are you a person that has lots of information but not very many answers on what it all means? Are you a person that's come here today because you have made a total mess of your life and you want it to be different? On the sort of other end of the scale as far as we look at things, you might be a person that's here today and your life has been an almost uninterrupted success. Everything that you've wanted to achieve in your life so far, you've been able to achieve. And the only thing that you're missing is meaning. You've done everything that you've wanted to do. A lot of people in our society today are able to do everything that they want to do, but they don't know what any of it means. And there's that feeling of emptiness at the end of achieving this career goal or this idea or that idea, because I think this is the thing that's going to make me happy. And then I get there and I don't really feel that fulfilled. I don't really feel that happy. There are a lot of people sitting in this room who have been to that point and have found an answer. I would argue that they have found the answer in God. So I want to talk to you just a little bit here at the end about how you can come into a relationship with God and how you can begin that process with him of bringing healing and hope and meaning to your life. And it is a lifelong process. It's an ongoing process. But I want to talk to you about how that's possible. Now, you might be sitting here saying, well, this so far you've interested me, but I'm not sure I'm ready to do this. If you have other questions, you can talk to me. I would love to talk to you about it. I haven't rehearsed this, but will anybody stand up who's willing to answer some questions? Is there anybody in here who would talk to somebody about Jesus if they wanted to ask? Mark, put a hand up. He won't stand up, but he will put a hand up. We've got a bunch of people standing up, right? If you need somebody to talk to, any one of those people will do. Find one of us and say, hey, I just want to know more about this or that, or what's the deal with the flood, or, you know, whatever it is, come talk to us about it. We would love to talk to you about it. God is waiting to add you to his kingdom and to come into a relationship with you. And to me, there's really three key things to think about on how that's possible to do that. The first thing that we need is a word that you often hear Christians talk about, faith, or belief, or trust, if faith is kind of a two out there word for you that you can't really get your head around. Do you believe that there is a God? The Bible says that one of the best proofs that there is a God is not a man talking. Sorry. It's the creation that he made. So have a look around. Ask yourself, did all of this just happen? Or is there too much evidence for design here for me to say that it just happened? Do you believe that there's a God? Do you believe that Jesus is his son? Again, there's people here that would be happy to talk to you about the evidences that the Bible puts forward that Jesus is indeed the son of God. The one that I shared with you, that Paul shared with the Athenians in Acts chapter 17, is the key one. And that's that God raised him back to life to confirm that this really is the one that I'm sending to change everything and to create a path back to me. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about this belief. This isn't just a belief like, yeah, all right, Ed, I can see that. That's not faith. That's just like, oh yeah, agreement, right? It's like, you know, if Wayne said, hey, you know, I think I could shoot an apple off of your head with a bow and arrow, Ed. And I said, yeah, all right, I could see that. And he goes, no, I've got the apple and the bow and arrow right here. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, right? It isn't just like, yeah, theoretically I'm with you. Now it's like, this is real. God says, I can change your life. Through Jesus, through my spirit, I am willing and able to change your life. And the type of belief that you need is that belief to be willing to take the step. The willingness to say, I want to change. I want to be different. I want to go down this path and find where it leads me with God. That's the type of faith or belief that we're talking about, a trust in God. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't mean you don't ever have any doubts or you don't ever say, boy, I don't understand this part or this part. If it means that, I'm in a lot of trouble because I ask questions all the time. But it means that you have enough trust to take the step. The next thing that we're called to do is something the Bible calls repentance. Repentance is not a word that I've used this week except when I was talking about the Bible. It's not something we use, right? But all repentance means is to turn. And specifically, the way the Bible uses it is that I turn away from my sin and I turn toward God. We all have selfish things that we do. We all have things that we do that we know are wrong. And the Bible calls on us to turn away from those things and to turn towards God and to follow him. Now, don't think to yourself, and I'm certainly not telling you, that when you do that, you're going to be perfect at it. And you're never going to sin again once you start following God. That's just not real. That's not what the Bible teaches. In fact, the Bible goes so far that at one point John says in a letter, anybody that says they're following God and says they don't have any sin, they're lying. We all still struggle with it. Repentance is a lifelong thing where I constantly have to look at my life and say, no, I need to keep turning. I got some more turning to do this week. The third thing that God calls on us to do, once we believe and trust him, once we are ready to turn away from our own life and turn towards him, the last thing that he asks us to do is to take that first step. And that's baptism. And I want to share with you how baptism is so much more than just being dunked underwater. You see, I think there's a lot of confusion about baptism today because there's some groups who claim to follow Christ that don't do baptism. There's other groups that claim to follow Christ that do it. There's some that say it doesn't really matter. There's some that say it's really, really important. I wanted to look at three scriptures in the Bible right here at the end. We're almost done, so stick with me. I want to look at three passages in the Bible that will take us right through the story of the Bible to show you how this act of baptism is a symbol. It's symbolic of the whole story of God and his people. And it's a really important symbol. It's maybe the most important symbol. So first I want us to go right back to the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1. So this is the creation story. Even if you're maybe even never opened a Bible, you've probably at least heard this story somewhere. How God spoke everything into existence. And the Bible tells us that it was God and Christ that were there together creating everything through God's word. And I want to start with verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was over the face of the waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day. He called the darkness night. And there was evening and morning the first day. And then I want to skip down to verse 9. So God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so, and God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called the sea, and God saw that it was good. So in God's creation, he initially makes the earth, and it's totally covered in water. Scientists are happy with that. It's totally covered with water. He creates light. And his spirit is there with him. His spirit and the Christ and the Father are all here in this moment of creation. And then he calls on the ground to rise up out of the water. And he calls the ground earth or land. And he calls the water the sea. It's just a quick quiz. Does anybody know what Adam's name means? It means earth. That's the literal meaning of his name is earth. The sort of more real meaning behind the literal is created. God brought the earth up out of the water and made dry land. He brought out of that dry land, he brought the first person, Adam, created. He is the first of a new creation. And like Paul said in Acts 17, and like I said about 17 minutes ago, he was the first of the creation, and from him all people have come. So, I want us to go to the next spot. Matthew chapter 3. That passage might not have been that clear to you, but hopefully I'm going to clarify it for you here in a minute. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John wanted to stop him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me? Verse 15, Jesus answered and said, let it be so for now, for it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And John consented. Verse 16, listen to verse 16. When Jesus was baptized, immediately he came up out of the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and it came to rest on him. And behold, there was a voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. At the creation, God's new creation literally came up out of the water and became land. And then he took a bit of that land and made a man. And Adam was the first of the created. Here in Jesus, God is making a new creation. And here we have the water, and we have the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit. I don't know if you've ever seen a baptism before, but what do we always say at a baptism? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit. Because they are here and active in a baptism, and here they are active at the baptism of Jesus. He is going to be the first of a new creation. He is, the Bible says, the new Adam. So now what happens if you go over to Acts chapter 2? Jesus' baptism was an example to us. He wasn't baptized for the forgiveness of sins. He was baptized as an example. But then we get to Acts chapter 2, and we have the first speech anybody has ever given about Jesus and who he is. And Peter's conclusion to this mob of people that he's talking to, many of whom were active in bringing Jesus to his execution, is this. Jesus, I hate to tell you, not only is he the Messiah, the one we've all been waiting for, he's also actually God himself. And you killed him. To be fair, they were a little bit freaked out, right? And in verse 37, they say, well, what are we going to do? What can we do? So I want you to listen to verse 38, Acts 2:38. Peter said to them, repent. We just use that word, right? Turn away from the stuff you've done before and turn towards God, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. At the creation, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit were there to raise earth up out of water, to turn some of that earth into the first created man. Jesus comes here, And the Father and the Spirit witness that He is the first of a new creation. He is the one that's going to lead this new people in following God. When you choose to be baptized, it's not just about you getting wet. It's not about you joining a church somewhere. It's about you joining the church. The Father and the Spirit and the Son are with you in that moment that you go into that water. God brings you up out of that water a totally new creation. Jesus has made it possible for your sins to be forgiven in that moment. And God will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that He will always be with you and that there is one promise that God has made that He hasn't fulfilled yet. And that's that one day He's going to come back. And when He does that, we can all be with Him forever with no fear, no pain, no shame, no tears. I want to be there. I want to look Him in the eye. I want Him to look at me and say, "You did it, Ed." And I want you to be there. So if you have more questions, please talk to me. I won't shout at you. I won't throw things at you. I won't tell you how wrong and horrible you are. I'll probably start out by telling you how wrong and horrible I've been. But there's an answer. There's meaning and there's hope. And it's all in Jesus. Thank you guys so much. If you have any questions, please ask somebody here after we're done. But we're going to sing one more song and then have a prayer before we do that. Thanks.